Hey, Diggs, welcome to Dentists in the Know, your backstage pass to current trends, politics, and education in the dental world. We are dentistry's source for honest, relevant information, and with that in mind, this is JB's News on the Go with Dentists in the Know. So introducing to you with all the relevant information, Dr. Jennifer Bell.
And unfortunately, I have to say, North Carolina did make the news this year or this week. So got that going for us. So first story of the night, we had a North Carolina orthodontist who I went to school with. Great, great, solid human, really is. But he did happen to make national news this week with his infamous program, Grins for Glocks. It was supposed to be a private offer, where he was working with a local gun club. I believe he's affiliated with it somehow, where they were doing, you know, come, you could get Invisalign done, and in exchange for deciding to close the Invisalign for the day, you would receive a gun. Now, he defended this by saying they were all background checked beforehand. Like, they did do all the due diligence, and probably the majority of them were members of the gun club or affiliated in some way. So it wasn't just this mass distribution. Certainly was intended to be a private promotion, but it did escalate very quickly and was in the local news the very next day and hit national news by Friday.
So yeah, it made our local news.
Yeah. So anyway, Godspeed. I wish Gladwell the best of luck. Hopefully this, you know, just dusts over, or heck, it probably just grew his business tenfold. You know, because no press is bad press. So we'll see what comes of that. But certainly we did make the news this week. Another interesting story. I hope Chad gets to see this, because I thought he would find this most interesting because of his affiliation with a particular study club, which we'll talk about. But a former dental manager was convicted of embezzlement to the tune of $130,000 from a Washington office that she was using to live a fairly lavish lifestyle, which we would do if we happen to have an extra $100,000 sitting around. Unfortunately, yeah, though, I have to say this wasn't her first encounter with doing something very similar. So you'll find this super interesting. It was back in the 2010s where she first kind of came on the scene with this idea, I guess, maybe, of how she could swindle through some additional money by being a coordinator at the Seattle Study Club. So she worked for the Seattle Study Club for a few years, and during that time managed to rack up $35,000 in fraudulent credit card charges. She felt great remorse from that decision, and so she was let go. She admitted guilt, but the Seattle Study Club, being very kind, did not press charges. Well, fast forward a little bit later, she ends up in another dental office, Gentle Dental, which I believe is a chain, or at least we have some around here, where she was able to amass about $40,000 in cash from patients who were trying to pay a bill. That did take her to court, but she got off admitting guilt, but only had to pay a fine and served a 1 month in jail. But then fast forward to today in 2017, she started the similar practice again of embezzling from the practice, and this time got up to $130,000 before she got caught. What's the moral of this story? Well, interestingly enough, when I was preparing for the news tonight, there were so many stories of embezzlement hitting different news channels that I follow in the dental world. And I thought, this is becoming much worse. And I think with the economy and being what it is, obviously she was a repeat offender, but I think you're starting to see these things pop up more and more. Number one, we've had a great guest. If you didn't watch the show when David Harris was on and he talked about embezzlement, he was fantastic at giving pointers on how you can stay on top of your books to make sure. Independent audits of folks not affiliated with your practice is also really important. I'm not sure a background check on this particular person wouldn't have pinged that one conviction and jail sentence. So that might have been at least a way to pre-screen. So, you know, we can't let our guard down. We have to continue to do our due diligence. And these individuals are often very likable and very nice people, They just happen to have a bit of a playbook that they're coming from. So keep that in mind as well. The last thing I wanted to mention was the ADA put out some kind of an update around their HPIs. Those are the statistics they've been tracking for the last few years, and kind of gauging workforce, gauging dentist activities and what the, like, kind of boots on the ground of what's happening on the ground level for dentists and how the practice environment is evolving over time. And no surprise, we're seeing some interesting things come out that I don't think will surprise anybody who is a fan and watches the show frequently. Dentists are expanding what they're providing in their offices, and not by what you think. I'm not talking about maybe expanding into root canals or implant therapy, though they may be doing that to address busyness issues. But they are also starting to pick up more and more duties that might normally be assigned to admin, assistants, and hygienists. I know in my own practice, we are picking up more pro fees on the doctor's side for one of my practices because the patient population sort of lends itself that way because of the challenges of finding a full-time hygienist to come in and be a part of our team. So, you know, that statistic definitely hit home with us to say, yeah, absolutely. In our practice, we are seeing a shift of roles and responsibilities within and accommodating for those challenges. And again, they're reiterating the continued statistics of the number of private practice owners continues to go down. We're seeing, again, that movement towards consolidation. And those young dentists, this was an interesting statistic, Jeff. I think you'll find a lot of times we talk about the young dentist typically goes towards the DSO and they, you know, they want to build up their speed and kind of work in that environment. This statistic highlighted whatever the dentist decides to do upon graduation, whether it's a DSO, private practice, mentorship, whatever, they typically will stick with that now for about 5 years. So it means that if they go into the DSO, it's a more mindful decision that is likely the type of business and practice they want to pursue. And for those that go on to open their own or join a private practice, it's kind of in their DNA that's what they want. Instead of, I think in my generation coming through, you definitely saw more of the, I'm going to go to the DSO or the group practice, get my skills up, maybe find a great mentor who will help me through some challenges, but ultimately I would like to own my own practice. So it's kind of an interesting shift to say, it looks like when folks are graduating, they're sitting still for a little bit longer period of time, and they do not cite debt as a primary motivator for their career choice.
That is interesting.
Correct. That kind of struck me. I was like, we've been spouting off at the mouth, you know, pontificating about how debt was going to dictate decision-making, but at least currently, and most of these students are in significant debt at this point, but that doesn't seem to be dictating their first early career decisions.
But haven't we seen from kind of this, from this generation, kind of this concept of idealism anyway?
Yes.
It's really not that unusual. I mean, it's surprising, of course, because logically that should be the biggest thing that they're thinking about.
Yeah.
But really, they just want to maybe have the right lifestyle for them, that maybe that is, you know, the primary motivator for them, as opposed to, right, you know, where they're going to be. And maybe they don't want the stresses of owning a practice. Maybe they don't want, you know, maybe they think they'll just work up the corporate ladder and just punch a clock and make a great salary and go home and get 4 weeks of paid vacation until it doesn't work out that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what the right answer is, but it's definitely something to keep watching.
Yeah. Yeah. No, now I'm really interested. So great stories, rich and compelling.
Why, thank you very much.
So, gang, that's it for today's show. We want to thank you for tuning in, but more importantly, we want to thank you for being a part of Dentists in the Know. I'm Dr. Jeff Horowitz.
I'm Dr. Chad DuPlantis.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Bell, and we're Dentists in the Know.
Remember, gang, dentistry is an amazing profession, but it's way more rewarding when you're in the know.